Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. Sitting to my right is Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Phil.
Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council.
Good morning. May the 4th be with you.
Ooh, I like it. Good one.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah, you got that one on us.
Had that one in my pocket.
Yeah, good for you.
We got a big show today.
Today. We got Pat Tavaney coming on, and he is the number two at the Illinois AFL-CIO. And he's going to talk about this issue of Tier 1 and Tier 2 and how they're trying to fix this in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's momentum there, too.
And it has to be fixed.
Yeah,
it definitely has to be fixed. So we'll talk about that. And then we have Tracy Bila and Jennifer Garrett, right?
Correct.
Coming in from the Midwest Operating Engineers Health and Welfare Fund and the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council Health and Welfare Fund to talk about Cairo, PT, some of the new things that these health centers are rolling out. So also really, you know, cool and kind of pertinent. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Pat Tavaney to talk about Tier 2 right here on 720 WGN, The Worker's Mic.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. And as we stated earlier, we're super stoked today to have Pat Tavaney. Pat is the Secretary Treasurer of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Welcome, Pat.
Oh, thank you very much, gentlemen. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you in.
And so, Illinois AFL-CIO, real quick. 2 seconds. Describe it.
State Federation of Labor, constantly advocating each and every day on behalf of 900,000 union members and 1,500 affiliates across the state. Very proud to represent all of them.
And awesome. You guys are active. I mean, some states, I think, have State Federation of Labor that maybe exists in name only, but you guys are out on the streets.
We're the State Federation of Labor. We also work very closely with our partner, the Chicago Federation of Labor, that's working every day in Chicago, and we're down in Springfield making sure they're shaping state policies to make Illinois continue to be a worker-friendly state.
Yeah, so I mean, whether it's the Workers' Rights Amendment or the transit cliff or any issue that's facing workers in the state of Illinois, I mean, you guys are active.
We are there at the Capitol working with lawmakers and across the state every day, and that's why truly Illinois, I mean, we're a bright beacon on the hill when it comes to labor rights rights, surrounded by many, where it's pretty bleak.
The envy of the rest of the country.
Yeah. We're proud of it.
Does any other state affiliate compare to Illinois?
No. Well, I mean, you have other states that are working very hard like we are. But again, I truly believe between all of the things that we've done for all of our unions across all sectors, and then obviously with the Workers' Rights Amendment being the strongest in the country and now have a constitutional protection to organize form unions, we're more popular unions than we've ever been. Certainly in generations.
Yeah.
We do polling and we, you know, through a lot of things that we look in terms of analyzing how people are thinking about us. And in these times, they want somebody that's fighting for the middle class and fighting for working people when so many are fighting against them.
You guys certainly do. And as we go around the rest of the country, Phil, in that answer to your question, you know, we see some that are active, no question about it.
Yeah.
Some building trades councils that are super active. And then we see others. We go someplace where there's just a dearth of it. There's just nothing. There's union by the themselves, or maybe a couple of unions will band together, but you know, we're lucky to have you guys
right
here.
Right to work states,
that's for sure.
Right to work states for sure. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, no question about that.
And a compliment to our affiliates who they've seen the strength in that solidarity and being able to move forward as a movement, and that's really why we've been successful. The strength of our down to our rank and file and our members.
Absolutely.
And the work they do every day.
You ever you come from the firefighters.
I do. I was a firefighter downstate in Champaign for 25 years. The last 16 years, I ran the state firefighters union. And so, you know, we had a small population, very happy to work for them. Great group of people doing a very important job. But now that I get to advocate for all of organized labor and all the unions and doing things, not only working on the prevailing wage, but raising the minimum wage in Illinois for all workers to where the impact you see that that makes on people's lives, it's really gratifying.
Was there a learning curve for you coming from the firefighters to come over to the state fed?
Well, yeah, there's always a learning curve, but I'd been on the executive board of the Illinois AFL-CIO for a dozen years before that, so I had good relationships with the building construction trade, the service unions, the, the manufacturing unions, all across the board.
So, listen, we're here to talk about a specific issue, and that is the two-tiered system for pensions for public sector employees in the state of Illinois. Give us broad brush, quick. Like, when did it happen? How did it happen? Why did it happen? Like, how did we get to a two-tiered pension system in Illinois?
Yeah, great question. And a quick history lesson here. So this would bring you back to 2010. Mm-hmm. And really, it came on the heels of the Great Recession and the financial and banking industry causing it. But yet, it seemed like it really took it out on the workers afterwards.
Yeah, middle-class people
absolutely
suffered across the country.
A lot of our pension plans lost a significant amount of their assets that were in the stock market due to the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. And so the bond rating agencies were putting pressure on Illinois because we'd for decades poorly funded our pension plans, not putting in the money to meet the obligations. And so 2010, instead of addressing the real issue, and that was their funding approach that they'd taken for decades, they decided to reduce benefits for, you know, middle wage earners, modest wage earners in Illinois, and slash their retirement security. And so we are one coalition.
Right? Yeah.
I was going to say that was just rammed through, right? With a
single day, March 24th, 2010. It sticks out in my mind very distinctly. In a single day, both chambers, committee, the House chamber that afternoon, it went to Senate committee, passed the full Senate that afternoon, and was on its way to then Governor Quinn, where he was eager to sign it. An issue like this, as devastating and probably the most devastating thing to public employees in the history of state government, to do in 12 hours when things take months and years usually to do that are hard in the Illinois General Assembly, very unfair. And also,
unheard of.
Ill-gotten in terms of how they did it, because now we have a tremendous amount of problems associated with that second tier benefit.
Right. And then so back to that quick, like, you know, how it got passed so quickly. Pat Quinn was a good friend of labor for the most part, right, in the state of Illinois. He passed a massive infrastructure bill for the building trades, correct?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the capital bill in 2010 was sort of a lifeline to many of the unions in Illinois that were struggling through, you know, 30, 40, 50% unemployment during the Great Recession.
But then he does this, right, and signs it very quickly. And I remember he just said that he had, what was it, Squeezy, the pension python?
That was they rolled out the program. Ridiculous. Yeah.
They must have come up with that in about 12 hours also. Yeah. 12 minutes.
They should have in-kinded those payments to the We Are One Illinois Coalition, because I don't think it helped their cause greatly.
No. So that then, of course, you now angered, you know, hundreds of thousands of public sector workers in the state of Illinois. And sure enough, you come up for re-election, and what do we get? Bruce Rauner, Republican in the state of Illinois that wants to, you know, inflict right to work.
I remember that because there were unions that were pushing a don't vote for Pat Quinn agenda. And it's like, hey,
you see this other guy over here?
Yeah, be careful. You want to get shot in the leg or shot in the face?
He's like, he was the precursor to Elon Musk.
I mean,
my humble opinion.
Yeah, Rauner was like, we've seen this show before, people who lived in Illinois.
But we were able to beat him back. But anyway, all right, so let's talk to the tier two, right? Okay, so what does it do? It extends the age of retirement, right?
It does. There's really four main buckets how they reduce benefits.
Let's do it.
It increased the age of retirement. It reduced the cost of living increase that people get every year to keep a dollar the same from year to year as you get elderly for spending purposes. It also changed the calculation of final average salary, grossly reducing the benefit. And then it also put a cap on pensionable salary that indexed at the time to Social Security, but now because they only index it to half CPI as opposed to CPI, Social Security does it, it's fallen further behind. So not only do people make drastically less when they retire, they also, their spending power is reduced each and every year, making it impossible to buy food, medicine, the things that people need
eggs
in their retirement.
Definitely eggs.
And you got to work till 67.
67 years old.
But let's go back to that, because that was always my, like, just, I was just shocked by that, by this. It used to be 62, correct?
It differed by systems. There's 17 different systems we're working in, state, county, and municipal. Yeah. But generally speaking, at 67 years old.
Now. With this tier two.
Correct.
Before that, it used to be you could retire at 55 if you had a certain amount of years in. You could go at 60. I think 62 is like, you know, I forget. There was some sweet spot in there. But now it's 67. And coming from 150, right, where Ed and I come from, representing public works guys, you know, these are guys that are, their body's their tool. They're out fixing main breaks in the middle of the night, right? They're working, you know, plowing snow. I mean, it's some serious blood money. Your body will not survive getting a job at age 20, 47 years, right?
No.
You're like, it's just not going to happen.
No.
You will die on that job. And so we just watch people go like, wait a second, I can't retire now until 67 is full. I think 62 is early, if I'm not mistaken, right? For, at least for in public.
Yeah, I mean, there were different ages built in. There were penalties if you wanted to leave early. And, you know, those are still in place for both tiers. But yes, I'm 67 years old. And that's one thing people think about this, and they think of the public sector unions. They think of police, fire, teachers, AFSCME. Like, in that, we have building and construction trades. For all of our unions represent public employees.
And that's where we come from.
Exactly. And 150, significant number of public employees, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was how I was informed. And it's different than, right, sitting, look, if I'm a public employee and I'm sitting in an office, it might be a little bit easier to do to get to that magic age than if I'm outside working in the elements for 47 years. Just like not going to happen. So what are we doing now? Like, tell me what's going on, Pat, or tell us in the audience what's going on, how they can help, and what we need to do to fix this.
Yeah, so we have the We Are One Illinois Coalition, made up of a dozen of our affiliates, but support across the board. And this has become and has become the number one issue for union members across all sectors across the state, by far. And so we have proposals in the General Assembly that would seek to not return Tier 2 to Tier 1, because the state just can't afford that. State and local governments can't afford it. But to make that first big incremental step to provide retirement security for all of our workers. Think about this. You have the same people working the exact same job side by side, whether you're a firefighter, police officer, heavy equipment operator in public works. And this person is making significantly more in compensation, albeit deferred compensation, than the person doing the exact same job, going into a fire, going to a classroom, operating heavy machinery. That's just so antithetical to the values that we have as union members and fighting for equality and equity and pay and all things across
and
our
some
union
of them,
movement.
Because they got their job what could have been a week after the first person got their job in 2010, right? Like, literally, it was a week that could separate you getting a Tier 1 pension.
You're 100% right, Phil.
If you were hired on December 31st, 2010, you get a drastically better retirement security. And if you're hired after January 1st, you have very little.
And so what does that do? That creates animosity on the job, right? Like, why is this guy getting more than I am? And he was hired 2 weeks before I was, and we're doing the exact same work, and he's going to retire 8 years before I'm even eligible, right? So that has to be fixed.
And you mentioned anger and frustration among public employees back in 2010. I cannot describe to you the level of anger and frustration that we have now. Now that more than 50% of all of the system's participants are Tier 2 members, and when you get into like the police and fire, you could be more like 70% are Tier 2. So the pressure is building, and our message to the leadership in Springfield, we're working with the governor's office, and we have good relationships with all of them, but we have got to make improvements on this, because the longer we wait to do it, the more expensive it's going to be.
Right. So is there movement, Pat? Like, has there been movement in this regard? Are you guys having discussion with legislators? Like, how's it going?
Yeah, over the last couple of years, we've been doing subject matter hearings on it in both the House and the Senate. Both of the pension chairs, Stephanie Kifwit in the House and Rob Martwick in the Senate, are leading those efforts. But now the House actually has a working group dedicated to working through and coming up with a solution that we hope to be able to pass a bill to take those first steps by the end of the spring legislative session that runs through probably May 31st is when they'll adjourn.
And if people wanted to like learn more about it, like, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, the We Are One Illinois has a website. Google We Are One Illinois. It'll take you right to it. You can sign up to make sure that you're engaged with us. We now have more than 80,000 followers that we're communicating with and engaging on this issue. Right? Yeah. And so the other thing about it, since you mentioned like what are we doing and why is it so important to get it done, there is several different levels of this. There's a legal problem with Social Security safe harbor requirements. There is a moral problem in terms of just the values we have that people should be given a fair day's pay for a fair day's work and there should be equality in it. Mm-hmm. But then there's an operational problem. We are having so much trouble in the public sector recruiting and retaining good employees. Sure. You have classrooms that have vacancies, thousands of them across the state. Police and fire, there's just a small fraction of the people showing up and testing for positions. You know, nurses. I mean, it goes across the board in terms of how people are employed in Illinois, and they're doing really, really important jobs.
It's Absolutely. Funny you should say that. We used to like talk about this in pre the second tier. There'd be, you know, I would tell our guys like, hey, there's, you know, watch the next time they put a job opening out there, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of applicants. And there were. And then tier two happens, right? And all of a sudden people are like, wait a second, I got to work till I'm 67 years old.
Yeah.
And so you're right. You saw the applications start to go down. So, you know, it's important for us to get A, the best and the brightest, and B, encourage people to do public service, right? Because right now, of course, public servants are being vilified, right? Like all of a sudden
they're being fired.
Oh, well, yeah, they certainly are. But all of a sudden, you know, we're the enemy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
that's why you got into it, because yeah, the wages aren't the highest, but you got a nice comfortable retirement, and now that's being taken away. And
yeah, and you might be even able to get them in the door. You know, they might test for the job, interview for the job, and they get in the door. But then they talk to their peers, and they realize they have calculators. They know,
sure,
I'm promised just a fraction of a benefit. And here in Illinois, and even in our neighboring states that certainly think differently about how you treat workers, I could go across the border and have a better retirement security and a better pension. Yeah. That's not how things should be here in Illinois and how we treat workers. And that's why we're working so hard on it.
They don't receive Social Security, right?
Yeah. That's exactly right. Many of our public employees, years ago, local governments, state governments had the ability to say, hey, I'm going to offer a replacement plan for Social Security and opt out of it. So they don't make, as an employer, a 6.2% contribution out of every check because they had a plan that was going to replace it. Now they have a plan that is going to fail those replacement requirements that the feds put on us. So if we don't fix it, we're going to have people come in and fix it for us. And if all of a sudden employers were smacked with an additional 6.2% of payroll out of every paycheck, that's going to be a much worse outcome than if we work together as a state to be able to fix this and come up with a solution.
And that's what the safe harbor provision is?
That's exactly right. But that's one piece of it. And that's what some would like to say, hey, let's just go in and fix this. But think about it. It's important and it needs to be done. It's just illegal currently. But that only affects the higher wage earner since they put the salary cap on. But the overwhelming majority that are modest wage earners and middle class and trying to ascend within it, they're not going to benefit from that. So we got to look at those other pieces and have it be a comprehensive solution.
It makes sense. Yeah. And look, the second piece of this, of course, is the fact that they're calling pensions and health insurance and Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera, et cetera. Entitlements. They're not entitlements. We worked for it. We paid for them. And with what's going on in Washington, going after Social Security, right? Now you got this double whammy. It's like, oh, yeah, I worked till I'm 67 here. My pension is less. And by the way, Social Security might not be there when I retire.
Yeah.
Like there's a legitimate chance that it's just not there. So, we have to do what we can here, right here in the state of Illinois to at least protect those workers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned pay for it, because what oftentimes get overlooked, all of these employees make a significant contribution out of each and every check. And I'll use the example of a teacher.
Yeah.
The teacher, a tier two teacher, still has to make the same contribution, over 9% forced out of every single paycheck.
Yep.
They now have a benefit that doesn't provide retirement security, but has a value of only a little over 7% to pre-fund how much they'll collect when they retire. So they're paying 2% greater than the actual value of the benefit. I don't think any reasonable person, regardless of your political stripes or ideology, thinks that's a fair system.
I think you're right about that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we gotta go. Pat Devaney from the Illinois AFL-CIO, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this really important work that you guys are doing. We wish you luck, and we're supportive of it. One more time, if you just Google We Are One.
We are one Illinois, and please follow us, join us, and support. We're working every day on this, and thank you very much for having me. This is a real important issue.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. And we are stoked today to have Tracy and Jennifer from two of our health and welfare funds. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in this morning. So let's start with Tracy, because you come from my home local 150, and you get that dispensation of 150.
The bias first
going.
Yeah.
Bias.
Just in case. Just in case.
Happy.
Jennifer, if I was on the mic, you'd be going first.
Just in case my forever boss.
Take the initiative, Phil. Yeah.
So, Tracy Bila, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 20 years, long time.
Yeah.
Tracy used to come with me to union meetings to talk about health and welfare for.
She helped you organize.
She helped me organize. Yep, absolutely. And it was successful, right?
It was.
Yeah.
It really, really was.
Yeah, we did great.
Yep.
Yeah, we had a good time. So what's your title?
So I am the Director of Communications and Member Education.
For the fund?
Yes, for the Midwest Operating Engineers.
Health and Welfare Fund.
Yep.
Okay, so for those listening, the fund, the Health and Welfare Fund, is a separate entity from the union, right?
Yes, so our office administers all of the benefits for Local 150.
Pensions, health insurance, annuity, retiring medical savings, you name it. That's what you guys handle.
Yep. So the union fights for all of the wonderful benefits, and then all the stuff that's in the CBAs comes over to us, and we administer all of that.
And when it comes to
CBAs, you mean collective bargaining agreements.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. And when we're talking about things like healthcare, you not only service the 24,000 members, but probably 30,000 more, spouses, dependents, children, stuff like that, right?
Yep, absolutely. So when a member becomes available or when they're eligible for coverage, anyone that they add to their plan also has the same benefits that the member has.
Right. So we're what we would call self-administered. So whereas some unions will ship it out to like a third-party administrator, the way Local 150 does it, and I think the carpenters are the same, correct?
Yep.
Everything is done in-house. And I will tell you this, and not to knock on the TPAs, the third-party administrators, because there's a ton of fantastic ones, but it's really nice to be able to call, over to the Health and Welfare Fund and talk to somebody that works there. You guys are actually part of the MCL, the coalition itself, right? Yeah. You actually get our benefits.
Yeah.
And much of your staff is actually unionized by IOE Local 399.
Yep.
Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. But it's part of the, like we've always said, like everything in house. We're taking care of our own, right? Taking care of ourselves. So
people get treated like family.
Yeah.
That's part of the operators to the carpenters and so many other unions. You don't want to feel like a number. You want to feel like a person.
It's a family. So let's pivot over to Jennifer.
Hi.
Jennifer Garrett.
Yes.
All right. And what's your title?
I'm a communications specialist out of the Mid-America Carpenters Benefits.
Okay. And so where are you based out of?
I work out of our Chicago office, and we also have offices in Lyle, St. Louis, and Kansas City.
And so you do communications about, same as Tracy, like about the funds, right, to help members understand, like, what benefits they have. Explain, what do you do?
Yeah, very similar. We communicate out with our members and retirees about their health benefits, their pension benefits, their vacation, and then all of just the great different ancillary plans. We have so many different offerings, and our health centers.
Right, which is what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, health centers, absolutely.
Another benefit of having it in-house is just the way we can coordinate with each other, because, a lot of members will contact the council itself and say, hey, I got a question about my pension, about my health benefits. And so we can just, call downstairs to the floor below and say, hey, you got this call. And so there's always that integration with one another. And I think it's a real benefit because no one ever gets lost in the shuffle.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And so you're right. We're here to talk about the health centers. And obviously, Premise is one of our sponsors, and they do the health centers for the Midwest Coalition of Labor. Mm-hmm. Which is, now the National Coalition of Labor. We decided to just keep them called the Midwest Coalition of
MCL
Labor.
Health Center. Yeah, MCL Health Centers. Five of them across Chicago.
Right, we have five. Yep. But we recently introduced, what is it? It's chiro.
Chiropractic care. So yeah, right. At the five MCL health centers, as well as at the independent centers that both the carpenters run in Lyle and the operating engineers run in Merrillville and Countryside. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about these centers all the time and all the services they provide at no cost to members, but chiropractic is a brand new benefit. So, I mean, this is huge news, and I'll chime in whenever you want me to, but I actually went there this week, and I've got some opinions. They're all good. Spoiler alert.
You look taller.
I do. They really straightened me out. The guy slapped me around a little bit, and I loved it.
Posture looks good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're here to talk about today is a new benefit that's been offered at our health centers, and new benefits, I should say, I guess, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is physical therapy and chiropractic. Mm-hmm. Why is that important, especially in the building trades, Tracy? Like, tell us.
Absolutely. So as we know, for carpenters and for operating engineers, mm-hmm. it's very physical, day in and day out, on the job, operating, moving. You know,
you're saying labors are not physical, though, right?
You do not have to answer that, Tracy. That's a trick.
I will not confirm nor deny allegations.
I'm joking. They're actually the most, the most physical.
I mean, in the building trades, people use their body as their tool.
Yeah, right. I think that's right.
That's the thing. There's a lot of joint pain. There's mm-hmm. a lot of, and that's why we've always talked about the importance of having good insoles in your boots. And and I think that, you know, we've talked about the importance of, you start feeling something, you don't have to wait until it gets really bad. Mm-hmm. That there are services that the trustees and that we've all partnered together to try to offer these best-in-class services for all of our members.
At no cost.
At no cost.
Which is insane.
So let's stop right there, because I think you bring up a good point, and I want to touch on this. You said this, if your toes are tingling or you're not feeling, you know, your body's not feeling right, something's in pain, whatever it is, mm-hmm. There's no downside to going to any of our clinics, right? Because A, they're near where we live, and B, they're free. So you might catch something early that if you let go, you know, becomes, you know, arthritis or rheumatoid or whatever it is. You might, it's the same as the, you know, catching the early heart disease and the diabetes and high blood pressure and stuff like that, right? Yeah. There's no different.
Yeah.
People think it's like, oh, well, it's just, you know, my body, it's not the same, but it
getting
is the
old.
Same, right?
There's no excuse not to go.
Yeah. And Jennifer, what's your experience?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very similar. I mean, we have physical therapy and chiropractic care at our centers in Lyle, and it's been really well received. And I think one of the unique advantages of one of these centers is that the physical therapists and chiropractors on staff begin to learn about carpenters and about operating engineers and mm-hmm. sort of understand kind of what, you know, strains and pains and injuries people can start to develop.
It's a great point.
And they recognize it because so many of their patients are coming in with similar injuries. And that's a really unique feature of these centers.
So as opposed to, you're right. And I'm sorry to speak over you. I know I have a horrible tendency of doing that.
Yes, you do.
My mom tells me this all the time. You got to stop talking over the guests. But, you know, if you go to a regular PT or chiro, you know, you're going to have all walks of life coming in there, right? Mm-hmm. Elderly, young, you know, this, that, the other thing. For us, like you said, you're going to see a carpenter. Chances are that carpenter's going to have one of five things, one of 10 things, and they're going to see it over and over and over again. Figure out what's best practices, what works, right? And so it's really dialed in on our specific trades, if you will, right?
Occupational almost.
Yeah. Right. Like occupational health.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, and carpenters work the hardest of anyone, obviously. The most wear and tear in their bodies of anyone.
Except for the communications director.
Except the communications director.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Never misses a chance. So, and tell us, is it working? Tracy, what do you think? People are coming in?
It's absolutely working. And I think shown by the expansion, we started off, at least on the operating engineer side, we started off with one health center location. It was kind of the inception of, let's build a health center.
Sure.
I believe this was back when ACA became a thing and coverage was being open to
The Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
Obamacare.
Correct. Yep. And I think that the Board of Trustees saw a need.
Half our audience just shut the radios off, by the way.
We mean Trump care. Trump care.
We mean Republic care.
Yeah.
So I think the need was there, and that instead of having the members wait months or, you know, to get into a an appointment. They said, you know what? Let's build our own. And and now on at most of the locations, they have doctors and phlebotomists. Mm-hmm. You can get lab work in addition to all of the other services. So it's absolutely working. So now on the operating engineer side, we started off with one location, expanded into Merrillville, and then just kept growing. And now we're up to 15 locations, which is wonderful now that we're partnering with like the carpenters and the electricians and
Teamsters.
Yeah, local 301. Yeah, they just joined, right? And the Heartland Carpenters as well.
Yeah.
You've been, now, Trish, you've been there 20 years, right?
Yep.
And you've been with the carpenters for 3 years.
Yes.
We're running a little bit short on time, but the, so these benefits, the chiropractic benefits, the PT benefits, are available to all the members of the Operating Engineers Local 150 and the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council at these health centers.
As well as the electricians.
Right. And
right?
Teamsters 301 at the MCL Health Center.
And that's Electricians 134 up in Northbrook.
Yep. So are these services, are they available right now?
They are coming available. So the first one in Northbrook will open on the 6th.
Okay.
And then Grays Lake the next week. And then over the course of the next couple months, we will open in Utica, Joliet, and Elgin.
Awesome. Okay.
And you guys are going to communicate that out to the members, correct?
Yes.
Yep. We've all worked together on a communication strategy that we'll be sending out postcards, and we will individually be marketing it on our websites. And
when you say we all work together, you mean all the unions that are part of the MCL health centers?
Yeah.
If you're a member
pretty cool.
of any of these unions, check this out. This is new, and take advantage of it because it helps.
Yeah. I think it's also worth noting that you do need to bring a doctor's note. That like some doctors who's prescribed physical therapy or chiro, but what's great is that all of these services are in a health center where there is a doctor who can prescribe physical therapy and chiro.
So that makes it easy.
It's
that's
the
what
most
you did,
like
right
all-inclusive
on.
Service.
So
you could really
offer. That's in yours. Do we do that?
I don't believe that we require it.
Nobody asked me about a doctor's note.
Ed's mom wrote him a note.
Yeah.
My son,
just a referral.
He's very smart and handsome, just like all those carpenters.
He needs chiro.
So I think what it all really boils down to is that the power of working together.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And how something can just start to expand and expand, and just the power that we all have when we join together.
Yeah.
And what we can accomplish. And I think that it's something that we can all be very proud of and be a part of. And I think if there's, you know, with the concern with some of the health centers being in, like for us in Countryside, it's in our building.
Yeah.
There's privacy,
sure.
You know, and stuff like that. And I think we're trying to normalize the conversation about come in and just, even if you just get an annual physical,
yeah.
Like we're very proud to be announcing chiro
mm-hmm.
and physical therapy. But even if you don't need that, just come in and maybe just get an annual physical.
Right.
Come get a blood draw.
Sure.
Just know where you stand. It just takes a little bit of time. As Ed said, you can get in quickly. For us, with all of our locations, I believe it's within 85% is within driving distance of all of our members.
Yeah. That's where we tried to put them, right?
Yeah.
And that was the concept of joining together, right?
Yes.
And you know, we're places where we're like, you know, Grays Lake, we couldn't do them by ourselves, but we joined with the carpenters, and et cetera. Then we can do it, you know, the Teamsters and whatnot. So that makes sense. And you're preaching the choir. I mean, you're talking about exactly what the coalition is about, which is, you know,
Absolutely.
Let's leverage our economies of scale. Let's leverage our numbers. Let's provide things that our members want and need.
Yeah.
Not stuff that they don't care about, right? Stuff that they want, need, and will use.
Yep.
And so far, you know, knock on wood, you know, look, we have behavioral health, right? But like you said, you can bring your kids in and get shots. You can get a physical. You can get blood drawn. Like, you can do all the stuff mm-hmm. at all of our clinics, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's no cost.
So if members of either one of these unions wanted to make an appointment, how would they do that? You first, Tracy, from Operators.
Sure, absolutely. So members can go to local150.org/mo. We have a Local 150 Health Centers tab that they can go into and look at the locations.
And Mo is M-O-E. M-O-E.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
And
is there a phone number?
So there's 15 different locations,
right.
And so
go
all of
got
the
it.
The phone numbers are listed there, though,
got
along
it.
With the addresses, so they can find a location that's nearest them,
mm-hmm.
and then call and make an appointment.
That makes sense. Okay. And Jennifer?
Similar, you go to carpenterbenefits.org, and then we have a link that will get you over to the Premise White website. And then you can see all the phone numbers and make an appointment directly online.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And I think we would be remiss if we don't mention it is Mental Health Month for May. Sure. And so free behavioral health care for you and the whole family.
Yeah, take care.
That's only in May?
No, it's free all year. But it's special if you do it in May.
We talk about it here all year round.
Yeah, we certainly do. Yes. We got to go. But I can't tell you how much we appreciate your guys coming down here on a Sunday morning. It means the world to us. It's good for, I think, our folks to hear right from you guys directly. Like, you're right there. You're there every day. So we thank you for that, and thank you for your service and everything that you do for the members. I hear nothing but positive. You know, like, I've never heard somebody call me and go, like, your health center sucks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
People actually call, and you just get that random person who picks up the phone and says, I went here, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to call, which you don't get a lot of.
Yeah.
You know,
get it in life in general.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. But we get a bunch of those.
So Mental Health Month, huh?
Yeah.
All right, how you go? How
finally you go? Time yeah. to, you got an excuse to take care of it now, Ken.
It's free, Ken.
Take care of what?
Oh, I don't know. Never mind.
My horrible anger
Who
issue?
Said that?
All right, listen, we got to go. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, interesting guests today. Two different kind of sets of guests, right?
I learned a lot.
Two different topics, but, you know, that's what we're here for.
Like, that's right.
Let's get this word out. So, let's end on something that is sickening.
Yes.
Everybody likes a sickening story to end their Sunday morning.
Yes.
But go ahead, Ed.
So I think everybody listening is familiar with the first responders and the health concerns that they've had post 9/11, the folks that came to Ground Zero and helped do salvage rescue work and worked there for years.
And the ones that ran into the buildings.
Right. Yeah. These folks have been suffering from, you know, various forms of cancer and all sorts of things for many years. And I think everyone in America sort of agrees that we've got to provide health care to these folks.
Of course.
Take care of them.
Yes, never forget what they did and take care of them. Now, one of the things that happened under DOGE that we talked about on our Worker Wednesday segment earlier this week was that the National Institute of Occupational and Safety and Health, Occupational Safety and Health, has been gutted by DOGE. It's no longer a functioning office. And one of the groups that was within that office is the group that has to certify these injuries as 9/11 related.
So there's nobody covered. There to do it.
There's nobody there to do it. So folks who are getting sick now and getting symptoms now can't get screenings covered. And these are folks who were at 9/11. We're at Ground Zero.
And that's common, right, for symptoms not to appear until years later.
Oh, absolutely. These folks are going to be dealing with this throughout the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And there's nobody left to basically sign the papers to get this stuff covered. So 9/11 first responders are being denied health care, being denied screenings with symptoms because of this. So unintended consequences. And this is kind of why taking a flamethrower to an entire workforce is a bad idea.
Exactly.
You know, it happened with the people who guard nuclear weapons. And it's like, oh, we didn't mean to do that. We'll put them back.
Please come back.
We're talking about first responders for 9/11. If there's anybody out there who disagrees that these folks should be getting health care, just turn off your radio. Maybe this show is probably not for you.
Right.
That's abhorrent. I mean, that's absolutely abhorrent.
Something's got to change. And I think the prominence of 9/11 in people's minds, let's get this fixed.
Right.
Well, that crosses party lines, right?
Right.
There's nobody that, you know, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or Independent or Green, doesn't matter. You think that 9/11 was a bad thing.
Yes.
And you think that people that came in, rushed in, helped clean up.
Risked their lives.
Breathed in all that
when everyone else was running away,
they
ran in.
Yeah. They deserve to be taken care of. End of discussion.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, come on.
Let's fix this.
You know, fix that, right?
Yep.
So, interesting show today. We will certainly have a lot more to say, and also we'd be remiss if we didn't mention just very quickly, it was May Day, right? We'll talk about May Day, but we'll talk more about May Day, I think, on Labor Day.
Yeah.
We could devote hours to that. But anyway, we'll be back next week with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.